Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
The Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your time. It's our time. Yes, there was a time you used to be taught. Now it's now time for you to teach. Tell your neighbor, there was a time you used to be led. Now it's time for you to lead. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited at this moment because it is time for you to stand to your feet. It is time for us to receive. You know, I told somebody last week that he was looking at an apprentice pastor. That the pastor he is looking at is an apprentice pastor. The real pastor. The real pastor. He has come to church today. Are you with me? I've left. Yes. The real pastor has come to church today. You know, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, Bible says that God in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets. Are you with me? But in these times, verse 2, in this time, he had in these last days spoken to us by his son. Today God has sent us his son. Oh yes, this is one of God's sons that God has sent. You see, in the past, Moses and all these guys had, they were prophets who were speaking to the old guys. But for us, in these our times, God has sent us a man that is after his own heart. His own son is a son of our pastor, our prophet, Bishop Dagiod Mills. And the reason why you haven't seen him from all these weeks is because he has been with prophets. Hallelujah. First works experience with Jesus, joy in your heart. I want to hear some excitement. I want to hear screams. Let us welcome to our international pulpit, the man of God, the man for the moment, Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Make some noise! Hallelujah!
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to clap your hands. I want you to clap your hands. And let's celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep clapping your hands. And as you are about to end, clap now for yourself that you are standing here in church. Father, we thank you. We thank you for First Works. We thank you for Reverend George's life, for the pastor you've placed over our lives as a shepherd. Thank you. Thank you for shepherds. 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 You said you give us pastors according to your heart who will feed us. Thank you for the people you give us to care for us, to enter our lives, to get into our situations. Thank you for the love you extend to us through shepherds and pastors. Thank you. Clap your hands for pastors. 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 Oh, she's a pastor. He's a pastor. Not that he's an engineer. He's a businessman. No, he's a pastor. She's a pastor. Clap your hands. Let's appreciate pastors. Pastors. Hallelujah. And this morning, I'm excited to be with you here. I see that you even have nice chairs. It means I have to travel often. It looks like when I travel, nice things happen in your church. So pray that God will open doors for me to travel. But it's been a very big blessing coming to you today and being in church today, and a privilege to preach to you today. Amen. It's been quite a few weeks. It's not months, it's just a few weeks. And it's been very, very nice. I don't know where to bring the greetings from. But I can bring you greetings from Kenya. After that one is sure. And I also bring you greetings from France. I've picked one country from Africa and one country from Europe. So I think it should be, because when I counted, I had been to 10 countries. Yes. So your future is bright. So I can't mention all the 10 countries. So we take one from Africa and one from outside. So clap your hands for Kenya. Put your hands together for France. And keep clapping your hands. Hallelujah. And you may be seated at this time. I can see a lot of people coming into the service, and I don't understand why they are coming into the service at this time. Who is responsible for this crowd coming in? Who brought them? Doreen. Okay. Inform her I have a meeting with her. Yeah. But thanks to neighbor and say you are welcome to church. Oh, I can't hear you. I can't see you talking to the person sitting by you and speaking English to the person. But you are welcome to church. Well, today I want to share a very important message, and I want you to sit straight, sit tight. Yeah. Doreen, come. I hear you brought this crowd to the church just 5 minutes ago. You are responsible for them. That's your work. Okay. Do you think it will happen again that you come to church at this time? So do I look like I'm joking? How do you see me?
Very serious. Very serious.
Will you do this again? I want to speak to you come and sit here. You come and sit here. Where's your Bible? Do have a Bible? We'll try and organize one for you. Okay. Those here, the two of you, yes, you can see me, you and you, get up, the two of you, black and white shirt. Just get up quickly. Get up. And come and sit here. Yeah, in front, yeah. Yeah. Move away from. Are you a girl or a boy? Come to the side, yeah. And you, get up and come. Sit here quickly, just be fast. Yeah. I like your Bible. Is it your own Bible or somebody's Bible? Your personal, did you buy it yourself? Okay. That's fine. To have a Bible is good. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Yeah. Today, I want to share the mind of God with you this morning. And I don't know how many of you are really ready to hear what God has to say. But the general theme of what I want to talk to you about is attempt great things for God, which is actually a book, which is a book written by our father. That's the title. Attempt great things for God. And I like the word that excites me is things. Do you see? Yes. Things. Things means not one. You know, and I want to encourage everyone here to take your salvation seriously. I want you to be very serious. Say serious.
Serious.
Yeah. Be very serious. It's when you say somebody is serious, it means the person is not joking. He's not playing. You are either serious or you are relaxed and playful and, you know, not really taking things as you ought to take them. But it is time for everyone to be serious about the great privilege God has given you to be in His kingdom. You could have been in the kingdom of the devil. It's also a kingdom. It's a kingdom with people there. The kingdom of the devil is a kingdom with people there. It's a kingdom with music. It's a kingdom with sentences and words and a language, I should say. The kingdom of the devil is a kingdom with people, language. It's a kingdom with certain things. If you are in the kingdom of the devil, you must have certain things and be doing their activities. Yeah. Their activities in the kingdom of the devil. That's a kingdom. If you say the Ashanti kingdom, yeah, the Mali kingdom, yeah, the Songhai kingdom, whatever kingdom, the Maasai kingdom, whatever kingdom there are activities there. Things are done there. Things are said there. There's a way people live there. Now, you and I, hopefully, are not in the kingdom of the devil. In the kingdom of the devil, there are things like destruction. You see somebody, he has smoked Indian hemp for a while and he has gone mad. It means he's been destroyed. In the kingdom of the devil, you see people who have been drinking for a long time. They can't stop drinking. Yeah. To be normal, the person must be drunk. If he's not drunk, he's not normal. If he's not drunk, if he's not taking in, let me not say drunk. If he's not taking in alcohol, he's irritable, he's jittery. Some of them even shake. The person is just shaking, trembling, and very sweating. But if you give the person alcohol, the person just relaxes and becomes fine and calm. That's a kingdom. It's a kingdom where you see a girl with three children. You can't find the father. Anything done in that kingdom is to steal from you. You see, when we say steal, the thief cometh not but for to steal. Is it John 10 and verse 10? No, so is it John chapter 10? Look at it. Let me show you a word which is characteristic of the kingdom. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. And I'm not preaching for a long time because I'm going to another service to go and preach there. So I need you to listen to me very, and I'm going to preach the same message I'm preaching here. The same, the English words, the words, the same message I'm going to preach there. Yes. You see, there's a word I want to show you. You see that it's here. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal. This is today's new word, is steal. Yeah. In the kingdom of the devil, there is a lot of stealing going on. One of the characteristics of the kingdom of the devil is stealing. And stealing, you may think it's about money or shoes. So like when you say stealing, he's stolen his car, he's stolen his wife, he's stolen his beloved, stolen his chicken. No. Yes, it's true. Steal money. But when we use the word steal, okay, it actually ultimately means to reduce. Wow. To reduce. That's the meaning and the mind and the understanding you must have when you say steal, is to reduce. So in that kingdom, you don't go up. You rather go down. He reduces your dignity. Yes. Like as you sit here, the girl sitting by you is also a girl like you. With all the things you have, she also has the same thing. But that girl sitting by you has got dignity. Like, she is confident. You know, she is confident. But you are not confident as a girl because a lot of boys have slept with you. They have destroyed your body. You've done some abortions. They've done things to you. Even the act of, even the sex they've had with you is not normal sex. So as you sit here in this God's house, you have no dignity. You have been reduced. There are some girls, some ladies, some girls, when they see certain guys, just seeing the guy there, let her feel used. Because she remembers what has gone on between and that guy. So one of the big things in the devil's kingdom is that he reduces. He reduces your beauty. He reduces your dignity. Sometimes he even reduces the strength in your voice. You can't speak well and clearly about certain things because of things you have done. He steals from you. Sometimes he steals your future. Like it has been taken away. Some of you sitting here, you do not have a future. You don't. I know you are here. Next week you'll be here. You are around. But what has been done to you and the things you have done with your life and the moments and seasons you have wasted already means that you do not have a future. You are going to perish soon. There's nothing left. I was listening to a message yesterday and the pastor said somebody did something to his wife. And later on, I forget whether it's years or something later, the person came back to his wife to apologize for what he did. And he said, in fact, let me not bore you with details. But he said his wife told the man who came to apologize that she has accepted his apology. But she wants to say something to him. That when you take a bag of feathers, feather is the things that cover chickens, birds, feather. If you take a bag of feathers to the top of a tower and you release the feathers, the wind blows the feathers away, and you want to collect the feathers back, you can imagine how many feathers you will have back in the bag. And the pastor was saying that, I mean, he has never heard that before. It's a dark saying. It's like what you have done, the effect is irreversible. We can't have a bag of feathers anymore. We can't have a bag of feathers anymore. So as you have the feathers, as you are walking up the stairs to the tower, as you are about to open the sack, think of what you are doing, because you will not have all the feathers back. Certain things we have done with our lives are irreversible. You cannot reverse it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a characteristic of the kingdom we are in. Of the devil, I should say. The kingdom of the devil. Today, I've given you just one word about the kingdom of Satan. That it reduces you. It reduces even the respect people have for you. It reduces your personal happiness in your body. Your own body and the happiness in your body is reduced. He steals. Let's not discuss kill and destroy. One day we'll talk about it. Today, I'm just saying that see, when you give yourself to Satan, he reduces you. Now, today, I mean, as I was just getting ready to come this morning, I was asking the Lord, what do I say to the church? Because Reverend George has been preaching about quiet time and the word of God. So what do I say? Then he showed me, just a few minutes before I got into my car, he showed me the cover. So I was asking, really, so what is it? What about the cover? Then he said, I should tell you, to start a project of doing great things, you must have a list of things to do. And not just things to do, great things to do. Listen, if you don't do great things, you will not be kept in this kingdom. The forces that have been released, mommy, to remove us. Because this, see, where we are, where you are sitting, is bad news. For the devil. Bad news. This is not what he expected at all. He doesn't want you to be here. He wants you to be outside here. It's bad news. It's almost like a blow in his face that you, this pretty girl, are sitting in church. He doesn't like it. Because you see, sitting here, I mean, that's bad news. That's very bad. Sitting here means that all the plans and all the things he has arranged for your life are all disappointed. I mean, sitting here means that you are going to have a good husband and a good marriage, which is not what he has planned for you. The things he has done to your great-grandmother, your aunt, your family, the evil spirits he has put into your family are all there to ensure that you never marry. So what? Because once you are sitting in church, it means that you are now in pole position to get a beloved, to have a wedding. Wedding? You shouldn't have a wedding. Pole position. Wedding is too glorious. Preach. You should have children, but not wedding. A wedding. So when Satan sees you sitting in church, actually he's very, very bored. Once you are sitting in church, it means that his plan to send you to jail has failed. Because here you are going to hear a word that will let you live righteously. Once he sees that you are sitting in church, it means that Charlie, his plan to make you a mental patient has failed. It is even worse. I mean, the worst news Satan can ever have is to find young people. No. It's bad. If he finds people like me in church, he's not as disappointed. Because whatever must be done has been done already. But to see young guys like this in church, I mean, he is disappointed. You know why? Because if he had these guys in their teenage years, in their 20s, let's even say 20s, if he could get these guys in their teenage years and in their 20s to groom them well, even if he releases them back into the church in their 30s, he still would have destroyed their foundation. Because Satan having you in your teens and your 20s means that you won't go to school properly. You are going to form habits that are bad. And by not going to school properly in your teens and 20s means that you are finished. The people who do well in life because of education use the early years to go to school. My early years were spent going to school. Imagine me trying to now start going to school in my 30s and 40s. So you are not good news to the devil. And look at me carefully. Can you see my hand? Can you all see my hand? The announcement I am making is that he is coming for you. He has come for bishops. He has come. Not that he came. He has come for reverence. He has already come for people. If you saw them in church, you will never in 1,000 years think that this person will never be in this church. That a day will come, this person will not be standing here. I saw something this morning. I said, wow, Satan is great. Satan is great. I can give you at least 3 singers. He has come for them. He is coming for you. He's coming for you. I know of a girl who is just, she's on drugs now. And she just got into drugs because she fell in love with a guy who was doing drugs. That's all. It's very simple. That's very simple. She uses, when I say drugs, a certain type. And it's just because of, I mean, don't we fall in love? Or are you not falling in love before? We all fall in love. We all fall in love. And if you fall in love with a pastor, with a shepherd, you are in love with a boy who likes praying. By all means, you also want to at least pray for 5 minutes. At least 5 minutes. Yes. If you fall in love with a guy who is into scriptures and likes quoting, at least John 3:16, yeah. By all means, yeah. If you fall in love, my heart has jumped from my chest into your chest. And like, I can't breathe without you. And I'm on batteries. I'm using batteries, and I've given you my heart. If you are a drunkard, a drinker of beer, the love I have for you will let me start sipping beer because I want to be with you. Some of you, Satan is going to let you fall in love with an idiot. Today, I want to talk to you about something.
Talk to me, sir.
There's a sentence in this book. I won't tell you where it is. Okay, let me tell you where it is.
Thank you.
It is in chapter 3.
Wow.
Chapter 3 says, attempt new things.
Wow. New things.
New things.
New things.
If you can sit down, I'll preach.
It's difficult.
So today, they say we must wear sunglasses. Today, that's why I need you to listen. That's why I've given the introduction I've given. One of the new things, you see, there should be new things happening in your life. New. New means that it has not existed before. It's new.
Yeah.
This is a new dress. I've not worn this dress before. My dresses are normally short dresses. But today my dress is a long dress. It's new. I bought it 2 days ago. It's a new dress. I'm going to start from today talking to you to start a project of new things. New things. And it's not going to be new shoes. New wristwatch which matches your shoes. New hairstyle. New things. The new thing I want to talk to you today for the first is the last in the list of new things that are in this book. And that is, be open to the power of God. New things. Be open many of you, the Christianity you know is a powerless Christianity. Mm-mm. That is the one you are practicing now.
Mm-mm.
You are with God. You are in Christ. You are born again. But what you are practicing is powerless. Have you not seen that it has not been able to stop you from continuing sleeping with that boy? It's not stopped you. It's powerless. You are living a life. You come to church every Tuesday, every Sunday. You pray. You join prayer meetings. You have been in church. At least, if I'm not wrong, it's been about 5-6 years. 5-6 years at least you've been in church. Church has not been able to stop you from watching pornography. You are into pornography. I'm not joking. I know people who have been in church, even pastor. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
He's been a pastor for 10, 12 years. It's not stopped him from stealing money. He's a pastor, but it's not stopped him from stealing money. I personally know a sister who has been a Christian, if I want to stretch, at least 8-9 years. She's been a Christian in church, but it has been a Christian has not stopped her from telling lies. So I don't believe her at all. Anything she says, I take it as another joke. I mean, lies. Yeah. So many of you, the Christianity you are practicing is actually a powerless Christianity. And one of the reasons why it is powerless is that the message I am preaching today has not been preached to you before. You are not even aware that there's a power dimension to the kingdom of God. For you, it's just going to church, the activities, you see, the kingdom of God is expected, if you are in it, it is supposed to dislodge and move away certain established things the enemy has planted into your life. And many of you, Satan has done, I mean, the things he has done, being in church hasn't changed anything. You used to be very quarrelsome. You are still a very quarrelsome person. I mean, the power to tame you, it's not there. There's no power. You've been in church for 2 years. Being around has not been able to stop you from listening to unbeliever music and admiring imbeciles. It's not stopped. And I think that, see, I heard it as I was standing there, that the reason, one of the reasons is that you've not been told. You've not been told. So you are relating with something, but you don't understand what you are relating with. Today, the announcement I'm making is that this church thing, this kingdom business, this I'm going to church, I'm now born again, I don't care what type of words you are. All these words are just empty words we use. Born again, church, God, they are just empty words. Today, I am announcing to you that these words have meaning. We are not serving a powerless Jesus. When Jesus enters your life, certain things must leave. He is light. He introduced himself as light. And when light enters a place, darkness must flee. But your Jesus is the type of Jesus you are having, and darkness is still there. It's a plastic Jesus. About something new. We are going to attempt something new. And the new thing we are attempting, mommy, is we are going to attempt for the first time to practice a Christianity which has power. 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 Power to accomplish things. I'm looking at you. You're also looking at me. Nothing has happened to you. Some of you have been in church. Today you are a lady pastor, you are a pastor. But your life is like your lies, your fornication, your sexiness, it's like your misbehavior, your relationship with girls, how you are with girls, how you are with boys. It's not changed, but you have a title, pastor. I am introducing the subject that we are now, as a church, we are going to attempt to now practice a kingdom life with power. Power. And I'm going to list the things the power must do. First of all, where the power is going to come from. Where does the power come from? I won't give you a lot of things. I'll give you some, just two or three sources of power. And what the power must do. Power. Power. All that is left to you is just attending church in a nice blue dress. And you give an offering. You go and roam in town. On Sunday, you come again. But I want to read something to you from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. And I'll take it from the King James. I don't know what the other translations have to offer. We may look at it, but I just because my time is up already. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word. But in power. So all these words. And our book we use in the kingdom is the Bible. Which has words.
That's right.
So if the kingdom is not in word, but in power, then it means that every word in the Bible must be transformed into power movements and power momentum and power activities, discernible, tangible changes. Power. Power. That is, we must not just be here using English words. I'm a lady pastor. It doesn't mean anything. It's just words. The lady pastor words must now be converted to power activities. I am a bishop. It doesn't mean anything. I'm telling you in English. In fact, there are surnames. Surname like Ofori, Osei, Ayensu. There are surnames that are bishop. Bishop is a surname. Kate Bishop. Yes. Yes, bishop is a surname. Like you are Osei. Somebody's surname, Sarah Bishop. You can check. It's a name. It's a name. They don't go to church at all. But the name is bishop. It doesn't mean anything. It is now up to me, who somebody is calling a bishop, to now convert the English word bishop into power dynamics that show that this person being called a bishop is a bishop. Based even on the churches I oversee, the work I'm doing, that is what we talk about. Not just that you are carrying a title. The kingdom of God. You say you are born again. You don't use born again to do anything. These are just words. What has happened to you practically? I am born again. I'm a new person. I used to wear dresses that the neck was up to here. Now I'm wearing a dress like this. At a point, I had 4 boyfriends. Now I'm clean. I'm now in church. What born again means what? Power. The kingdom of God is in power. Now, I'll give you just three sources of power. The first source of power obviously should be the first. To attempt to make the second thing the first is also an error. So let's go to Acts. I'm ending. Before we go to Acts, let's go to the first person. Say, sources of power. John 1. Verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. And it's true. The one is there. The world was made by him. I need to control myself, otherwise I'll preach for a long time. The world was made by him. And the world knew not the one who made him. It's so true. Yeah. Some of you don't even have respect for the people who have made you into what you are. Yeah. I mean, as you are sitting here, somebody has made you and is there. But that's the person who has made you. Is the one you have no regard for. You don't have any recognition. You don't even know him. You don't even know him. The last time you sent a text to the person who made you, or even gave the person a gift, was about 3 years ago. Because it's not on your mind that as I'm here in this green shirt and brown t-shirt, well, somebody made me. And look at it. The world was made. You are made by someone. And you can easily not know or not relate with the person who made you what you are. And that is how curses begin. Let me shift from the point. The first source of your power. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, I'm talking about Jesus. The first person is always the first person. Maybe you don't know, but I'm informing you. You see, you can have a check in your bag and still lack money. Signed, stamp. You don't know that this check can give me money. This paper means money. Yes. I can give you an object, an object with some impressions on the object, and it can be lying in your bag. But what you don't know, that thing you are holding, if you take it to a certain man, he will give you 100 acres of land, because it is a certain man who gave it. He created it as the value of the land. And only one man knows about this stone. That is there anybody who brings this stone with these marks on it to him? 100 acres of land. And the man is two houses behind you. Hey. And you are using that stone to kill birds. Hey. I'm saying that you can have Jesus and not know what to do with him. You don't know what to do with the check. It's still in your bag. How many of you have Jesus? Yes. But what has Jesus done? So you can have him and not know what to do with him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Always, the things that must change you and the things that are good for you are the things you don't want to embrace. And you spend your life embracing rubbish and nonsense and behaviors that drive you away. Yes. Yes. He came unto his own. His own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Power. To become the sons of God. The kingdom of God is not in words. I have Jesus. You might as well sing profane songs. It has no meaning. If Jesus comes, if you truly have Jesus, you must have power. Anybody who receives Jesus, anybody who holds that electric cable, receives power that shocks him and can kill him. If you are really holding the electric cable, we need to see you shaking. If you are not shaking, it means you are not holding the cable. Many of you have Jesus in your mind. Yes. That's how some of us are. You don't understand what I'm saying. Phlegmatics. We do things in our minds. We build houses in our minds. We preach powerfully. I bought the car already. I have a car. Phlegmatics, they live in imaginations. Like as he's here, this is his bedroom. This is his bedroom. He has already imagined that there's a lion there. Even the country he's in, there are no lions. But he has imagined that there's a lion there. That's a phlegmatic. Very active in their mind. But physical doing of the thing, we leave it to the cholerics. And many of you, Jesus is just in your mind. He's an imagination. You are just imagining that you have Jesus. You are just imagining that he's in your life. But today, I am announcing that he can move from imagination to a practical Jesus, where you can actually tell this girl that I have received Jesus Christ, so I cannot continue this life I'm living with you. We can't have sex. Power. Power to break a relationship. Power. If you are really holding the electric cable and it is Jesus, there should be power enough to be committed to the church. Power enough to become the sons of God. The sons of God. The sons of God are not just people with titles, people who call themselves things, but the sons of God are people who demonstrate power. So those are the guys who share testimonies. I was into this nightclub. I was into this lifestyle. I was into girls. I was this, that. But now I'm changed. I'm now a pastor. I'm now a shepherd. That is power. This type of titles, born again, I'm a Christian, I belong to Makane, they are all useless words. The kingdom of God is not words. These words to call people daddy, that is my daddy, it's nonsense. Malachi asked that, he said, if I am your father, then where is the honor? Where is the honor? Why do you use words that are just, it ends in words? Understand that behind words, it's also power. And we must choose the power dimension and not just the words dimension. If you say you are a pastor, then show, what is the power in a pastor achieving in your life? What can you show us? That I am a pastor. All the people sitting there are my members. It's not just a title. That is a title. I'm the head pastor of the church. And what has your head pastorship done in the church? I sing. It's not just singing in words. What has a song done in the kingdom of God? And have you sung a song that has achieved that in the kingdom of God? When the Levites were singing, there was a Shekinah cloud coming from the back. When was the last time there was a cloud in the church because you were singing? That is the journey you got to be on, baby. The journey to look for the power, not just the singing voice, but the power in the singing. Christ was preaching. He wasn't having a crusade. It wasn't a convention. It was a normal Sabbath day church service. A woman whose back was curved, she became straight. Not that he's laying hands on people, that they are sitting down. Suddenly there was a scream. What's happening? I'm straight. Just from teaching. So if I say I am a teacher, that is the power I must look for. Power that makes the title the teacher of the word of God meaningful. Not somebody who just speaks English and takes verses, picks a word from a verse, have a sentence, some English meaning. It's just rubbish. What is the power doing? He called the man. I can see you on the tree. Calm down. He came down. When the man came down, he said, I want to eat in your house. They sat down. I think two bowls of kinky. Christ couldn't even eat half. He just sat down. He ate with the guy. The guy was so excited, he couldn't even eat. He didn't even finish eating the food. He didn't even wash his hands. The man began to confess. Just began to confess. I've done bad things. I've taken things from people using false accusation. I'm going to give their things back to them. Don't be content with just the English words we have used. Are you a wife? Can I see your ring? It's not just wearing of rings. It's not just being called Mrs. Atapites. There is power in the title. And I'm asking that, what have you brought into the man who married you? What have you brought into his life? Because power has momentum. Power changes things. What changes have come? Because the man can be married to you. Meanwhile, he's chasing other girls and getting from the girls what he could have had from you. Useless titles. I'm saying the kingdom, expose yourself to new things. First works, new things. And the first new thing is power. Power. If you say you have Jesus, Jesus brings power. So if you say you have Jesus and you are still into certain things, it means that you don't don't have him. Because we don't use English words. Number two. What's the second source of power? James chapter 5. Amplified Bible. Verse 16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. And pray also for one another that you may be healed. This one. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, which is dynamic in its working. Prayer is the next thing. Prayer is a source of power. Yes. But you don't use it. You don't use it. That's why your life is powerless. I mean, we are in church on Sunday morning. Where are your members? Where are they? You know why they are not here? They are not here because you don't power them with prayer. When was the last time you sat in your chair with 15 names? Praying. Not imagining that you are praying. Praying for the girl, Cecilia Bonsu. Praying. Most of the members we have, we don't pray for them. It's on Sunday morning we go and call them to come and sit in church. But Paul said to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 1. He said, when I heard that you were born again, I ceased not to pray for you, making mention of you in prayers. You are expecting people to do things that they have no power to do. The power of a convert to come to church will come from your praying for the convert. Power. There is power in prayer. You are a Basenta leader. When was the last time you prayed for the Basenta? 1 hour, 2 hours in prayer. When was the last time pastors prayed for your regions, for the church? Like as we are having this service, last night there should have been a prayer meeting for the church service. At least 1 hour. All lady pastors are on Google Meet or Zoom or whatever. And we are praying, sipping tea. It's an effectual, fervent, ardent. Anything that is not working well in your life has not been prayed for, because prayer has tremendous power. The earnest prayer makes tremendous power. Your child is misbehaving. All you are doing is just complain. Complain about the girl. Complain about the boy. How much prayer. I I'm just saying that just in case they ask you what the man said. He said, tell the person that the pastor said, the kingdom of God is not words. It's not words. So anybody with a word on you, make sure you are actually living out the word. Otherwise, you're not a kingdom girl. You are an unbeliever. You are doing so. Many of you pastors are doing social work. It's social work you are doing. It's social work. You are surprised that somebody who has come into your hands for 3 weeks is still listening to unbeliever music because you have not deployed power in his direction. People come to church with things in their minds. By the time I finish preaching, they send a text, I've come to see you, but it has been solved. I've seen you already. I can't see you. When you stand and you are teaching, what power comes from you? What power comes from you? You're just a singer, you're just a choir. You cannot even gather yourself to sing a song. Even power to gather a song, because the leader of the group doesn't even pray for you. You see, new converts. The last time I made an altar call, the person who came to stand there came with the school of the word. School of the word. New converts. Did you say new converts? I didn't hear you. Did you say new converts? I mean, people get born again. You're using placard and a canopy. Isaiah 14, verse 16. Look at it. Look at Isaiah 14. Zamrama line. Look at it. Look at it. Watch it. This is the devil. Satan is being described. Are you here? We are going to close. We are closing soon. This is the devil. They that see thee, this is the devil. Thee is the devil. Shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? That is Satan. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble? So these are the characteristics of Satan. Number one, he makes the earth to shake. Satan. Oh, just read the news. Just go to BBC now. You see that the whole earth. Yes, Nagorno Karabakh, they are bombing that yesterday. Bombing. The earth is shaking. That's the devil. That did shake the kingdoms. Kingdoms, financial empires, political kingdoms. Kingdoms are falling and crumbling like cookies. If they ask you, write an essay about the devil, I'm talking to you. This point is not for anyone. It's for you. Are you not the one in charge of the new converts? Yes. It doesn't concern him. You can sleep now. She's the one I'm talking to. I want to show you who the devil is. Can you see the glasses? Is it nice? It's okay. It looks good on me. Perfect. Then stand and listen. If you want to know Satan, one, he makes the earth to tremble. Two, he shakes kingdoms. Then number three, the devil that makes the world, that are you not the one who made the world as a wilderness? Anything that is nice, when Satan comes in, that's the destroyed part, the John 10:10, the destroyed. He makes nice places into wildernesses. A nice home, husband, wife, children, scate, wilderness. A nice life, wilderness. A nice business, wilderness. He makes things that are green, brown. That's an essay. If they say write an essay about the devil. Number one, he makes the earth to tremble. Number two, he shakes kingdoms. Number three, he makes the world into a wilderness. Then number three, that's why I said stand up. Number three. That, Ah, but you're also part of them. Stand up. That opened not the house of his prisoners. Satan doesn't open. He doesn't even have the keys. Once he locks you, he throws the key away. He doesn't even know how to open a door. He doesn't open. He's into locking. Prison means lock. Satan doesn't open the doors. So if you meet a new convert who is into sakawa, into fornication, godlessness, remember that you are looking at a prisoner. And Satan, the fact that he has come to stand in front does not mean that he has been opened. To open that door, you must break it open with prayer. Wow. When you care for new converts and you don't pray, I mean, there should be more prayer meetings than even visitations. Oh, yes. When you meet anybody in bondage, I mean, bondage, Satan has captured somebody, bondage of depression, bondage of sex, bondage of drugs, bondage of godlessness, bondage of diseases, bondage. You do understand that Satan has never opened a door in his lifetime. If you want a door to open, you got to open. That's why we use the power of prayer. We are into new converts. You've not met to pray. That's ideally, there should be 2 fasting days in the week for anybody who claims he's caring for sheep. You think it's your English? It's your visit? What are you talking about? We must visit. We must call. But if it's being done without prayer, then you don't understand. Satan doesn't open doors of his prisoners. There's power. There's power to fill these chairs. But the activity that releases the power, it's not being done. We'll do it. We'll wear shades. We'll wear t-shirts. We'll wear panties. We'll wear shorts. We'll wear slippers. We'll do everything except to pray. When you call for a prayer meeting now, you even come and see the demeanor of the prayers. A person who pray is a prayer. It's a prayer. See the demeanor. He's just there. The person praying. He's just there. He's just there. And we are there, and the devil rather has deployed his power. As we are here, Satan's power is rather what is at work here. Satan's power is rather what is at work here and there and in that church. How do we know? Because when we see the congregation, you see that there are people under Satan's power. They will hardly come to the people who must come to church this morning. They are about 10 times this number sitting here. This is not the church service we should have had this morning. You don't pray. You dare talk about Vivian that she's fornicating. That you've been seeing her these days with a married man. You dare talk like that. How many hours of prayer have you prayed for Vivian? How many hours of prayer? Are you not a pastor? When a righteous man prays fervently, power is made available. There's power. All over the world. Prayer releases, but not this type of iced tea, coffee drinking, ice cream eating prayer. Prayers we pray. Proper prayer. You put your stomach down. Fasting stomach, you put it down. Move, Lord. Move. The judge said, I don't respect God. I don't respect man. But even though I don't respect God or man, because of this woman's importunity, it's like she's not stopping requesting. None of this type of diplomatic prayers we are praying. That is why there's fire in your house. That's why there's fire in your office. Look at the fire in the church. Look at it. There's no prayer. The last but one source of power. Hebrews 4, verse 12. My time is up. Quickly, quickly. Hebrews 4. King James. Okay, leave it. What's the first source of power? Those who receive Jesus. They are giving power. They're not giving books. They're not giving shirts. They're not giving titles. They are giving power. So if you say you have Jesus, then let's see the power that comes with that Jesus. What has the power of Jesus achieved in the work you are doing? Number two, prayer. Prayer has tremendous power. James 5:16. Then the word, for the word of God is quick. That is, it's sharp and powerful. Powerful. Maybe I should continue this next week. Hi. It's so useless, it's not even funny. You don't pray. I am announcing today that there must be organized prayer at all levels and at all times. I'm going to sit in my office and come up with a schedule. You and your people, come here in this room, walk up and down for 4 hours and pray. That day, you will take time off work. Yes. And I'll share. It's not evening prayers. It will be during the day prayers, so that you are forced out of your office. Because it's not only your office that is important. The second source of power is the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. It's so powerful. If you can sit down, I want to end. Normally, I end with people sitting down. I said you should stand, so you can sit now. Yes, I said you should stand, so you can sit now. Yeah. One of the things the word of God does with its power is that it cuts. It cuts the heart. It cuts through your heart. It cuts things away. Cuts. You can hear a word. It will cut the relationship between you and this boyfriend. Soon you are alone. But a word. Cut it. All I'm saying is that the word. It has power. It has power. Imagine a man. Who hasn't walked on water before? Imagine a man who hasn't walked on water. As all of us here haven't walked on water before. That's me. Imagine that man saying that, I am going to walk on water. And we asked, why? He said, at thy word. Wow. A word somebody speaks does something to a man so powerful that the man acts like a madman. When was the last time a word you shared moved somebody out of his socket? Dislodged a girl from a boy's room. Nevertheless, he beckoned and said, Peter, come. He said, I should come. I should walk on this water. Jesus said, come. Peter wasn't walking on water. He was walking on the word of Jesus that said, come. Faith in the word. You don't believe? You really believe what? What do you believe? Kai. The things we have taught in this church. You don't believe. You're just an attendee. Peter walked on the word Jesus released was powerful, and Peter respected it enough to walk on it. What was the last time you've done something crazy because the pastor preached that message? 40 years ago, when we got born again, we were emptying our pockets and walking home. That's type of diplomatic UN Christianity. It has taken us nowhere. That's where we are now. This is diplomatic Christianity with your sunglasses and your nice, beautiful dress cut here to show your shoulder. Does the back also show? Yeah, show your back. This is useless. This is nonsense. Wake up, wake up. The word of God is powerful. But do you know why it doesn't work at the Basenta meeting? Because it is word that is preached. The word of God. The power in the word comes from the power with which it is served. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. So many of you are using the same words. The words I use, you use them, but it doesn't release any power. Because number one is that the person who is speaking the words must himself be a certain type of person. So the madman asks that, am I the one you are talking to? He said, yes. He said, but on what basis will you say to the demons in me to come out? I mean, well, yes, if it was Jesus, I would have not had a problem. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But you, who are you to use words that Paul uses? I'm saying that the words you use don't carry any weight because you yourself, you are a dirty sinner. You are living in sin. You are fornicating. You are into unbeliever music. You don't even pray. And you expect a word. Look, the power in the word is not in the word itself. The word has the potential. Of course, the word of God is powerful. Of course, the word of God is powerful. Of course. But if the word of God is powerful, then why doesn't it work when you preach it? And it works when he preaches. It means the person speaking the word also matters. And not only the person speaking the word, how it is also spoken. Because the word of God is food. I can give you onions, tomatoes, Maggi cube, scorpions, everything, oil. You produce a different stew from the same ingredients I sent to a house. The same. Tomatoes, onions, pepper, whatever, I said scorpions, shrimps, lobsters, Maggi cube, indomie. I'm telling you, a different meal will come from her house from what will come from this woman's house because she doesn't know how to cook. The Bible says that the word that was preached Not the word in the Bible. The word that was preached did not benefit them. Because it was a word that did not evoke faith. The preaching of the word, it's like giving food. The pastor must know how to say it, for he taught as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. The one teaching. How he teaches. Oh, my own is not the one teaching. I mean, the Bible I read doesn't benefit me. Of course, that's why I said, technically, potentially, the word of God is powerful. But how it is eaten. You are sitting, you have just finished JHS2. And you are in your room reading King James Bible. It won't benefit you. That verse, you should read that verse in New Living Translation, Good News Translation, New International Version, New American Standard Version, including read books that have been written around that verse as a subject. It is how you eat that food. For unto us was the gospel preached. In this case, as well. So there's always the control. As well as unto them. But this group, it didn't benefit them. Because how you receive the word. Even that you are listening to a message with a device whose sound is not good. Oh yes. The sound that comes to you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ, in his days, he prayed with loud cries. The volume of the sound you are using can determine whether the word will bless you or it will not bless you. How you are listening to it. Sometimes you must listen to that word 2 times, 3 times. I'm preaching there on their phone. Oh, leave them. Go on. Go on. Hey, please, no one should go near them. Leave them to do what they are doing. And you concentrate yourself. You yourself, listen. The word did not benefit them. It didn't benefit them. Today I came to you to tell you that the kingdom where we are sitting is the kingdom. It's not in word. It's in power. Power. Power to move a boulder. Power to break a wall. Power to break. Breakthrough power. Shifting power. Stop. Power to stop. Because if something is in motion, it's called inertia. There is power must be applied for it to stop. Some of you need power to stop some behaviors. Some of you need power to move. Some of you need power to fly above. Power. Jesus is the source of the power. Prayer. I'm saying that from now on, she's tempting me. Let me move away from that before I say something I will regret later. I am with those who care for new converts. You are with that group? You are not with that group?
That's in my region.
Okay. From now on, we fast twice a week for converts. We release power. We release what?
Power.
Anybody with converts in your life that you don't fast twice a week to pray for, you're on your own. Number two, the word. The word. We are going to be students of the word of God, eaters of the word of God. That comes through just not just King James, other translation and books. The word of God has power to cause changes. Dynamic changes. It can change the way a husband relates with his wife. The word. But how it comes. And the last. Because it's the last help God gave us. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8 is God's last attempt. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, your boyfriend has come. After that, what? The reverend has come. You shall receive power. After the bishop who traveled for 5 weeks has come, then power comes. After who comes? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Ay, 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 ay. You know, can I end by telling you something? Anybody, look at me. Let me come up. Where's my Bible? Let me close. I've closed. Let me tell you something. Anybody sitting here, and these are my final remarks. I'm going. Anybody sitting here, let me hold my things so I can, my khaki. Please come and stand there. You make the altar call. Anybody sitting here who is waiting. Waiting. Please stand up here. Anybody sitting here who is waiting for an instruction from your man of God or your woman of God to tell you not to listen to that music, to pay your tithe. Anybody here who is waiting for someone to come and say to you that, don't do what you are about to do. Look at my face. You will perish. Nobody has time for you. The real voice. I'm sure you don't know what you are expecting. The real voice you should expect. To talk to you about your relationship with that guy. It's not your pastor. When was the last time I came to talk to you about anybody? The real voice you are looking for is the voice of the sweet Holy Spirit. Better get acquainted with him. Better know him. Better love him. Better be used to him. Better be near him. If you are waiting, if you are a pastor, and you are waiting for me to show you what to do, you are wrong. You are an overseer. You are expecting a message on a page. When was the last time you saw me put a message on the page? If you don't know the Holy Ghost, but the one giving the message, where did he hear it from? If it's a verse, don't you also have the verse? In the end, it boils down to the Holy Ghost in you. He will tell you, the way you spoke to Nana Brago was wrong. I'm not even there to say it to you. Many times I finish preaching. Hey, I'm preaching! There's no voice. There is no voice that speaks to us. A voice that says, stop. A voice that says, go. A voice that says, call him. As
I'm preaching and you are talking, I expect a voice to tell you that you are doing something wrong. Think about it. How many times will I be there with you and your beloved? How often have I been in the room with the two of you? If you don't have a voice and you are waiting for Edwin to give you guidance, you are dead and destroyed. You want to know the next step to take in your business? As many as received him, and ye shall receive power. Power. It's only the power from the Holy Ghost that makes you witnesses. A witness is not just somebody who goes with a Bible and say, good afternoon, I'm from Lighthouse. I'm telling you what the Lord has done for my life. No. A witness, the biggest witness is without English words. Your life itself is a witness that, hey, Charlie. And I'm asking, what change has happened in your life? Cataclysmic enough for us to say, wow, this can be God. This can only be God. Because we don't have the Holy Spirit. Many of you are spiritless. That's how somebody can. He's talking when I'm preaching. He cannot even hear a voice. Look, the Spirit of God. Read 1 Timothy chapter 2. He speaks expressly. He speaks. He is speaking. You are the one who doesn't hear. He speaks about your husband. He speaks about the way you treated your son. He speaks about the way you spoke to your wife. He speaks about how you came to church. He even speaks about when you entered the church. He speaks. Now, the Spirit speaks. You know why you don't hear him? You know why you don't hear him? Because his nature is not in you. His voice. You see, if I speak Dagbani to this girl, I said, there's a snake around your foot. Run. She thinks I'm saying I have missed you. For her to hear and understand the Dagbani, she must have Dagbani in her. For you to understand the gun I just spoke, you must have gun in you. If you don't have gun in you, my gun will not benefit you. Many of you are sitting down here without the voice of the Holy Spirit in you. So when he speaks, you can't, it's like Latin. In fact, you don't even hear it. For you, the Holy Ghost is a voiceless ghost whose movement creates some wafts of breeze. But he speaks. The Spirit speaks. And his power to change your life comes from the words he speaks, not from you falling down. Falling down has not helped anybody. The most powerful effect of the Holy Ghost on your life will come from the words he speaks to you. And that's why Isaiah 30, 21 says, you shall hear a voice from behind you. That is something you don't see, but you hear the voice telling you, this is the way. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Is it 21? Yes. And thine ears shall hear a word behind. Note it. Not, the voice is not in front. Normally, I'm talking to you. Hey, how are you? Go and bring the soup. Call the boy in front. But if the voice is behind you, it means it's a voice you don't see. But that voice is the one that tells you, this is the way. So you are walking about, you don't even have that voice active in your life. It's not active in your life. So you marry who you want to marry based on his height, his shoe size, his money,
you marry her based on the size of her buttocks, size of her breasts, the size of her skin. But the Holy Ghost is saying that this man will destroy your life. You can't hear. The Holy Ghost is a source of power. Power. Next week, I'll continue. Next week, I'm going to talk about God as the source and how God uses prayer, the word, Jesus, the Holy Ghost. He uses all these things to make you fly like an eagle. Stand to your feet.
Are you putting your hands together? Appreciate Jesus. Put your hands. Clap, clap, clap. Appreciate the word that has just been brought to us this morning. Wow. So zadabahayadagaba. How many of you feel like you've just been served a real meal? A full meal? Why don't you lift your hands and let's pray about what we have heard this morning. Pray about the sources of power. Let's pray about the powerlessness of our lives. Zalamananagadabahaya. Shurabadi givigezegelegebrededebehende. Surababadi vihalagaza. Oh, how many of us know that there's no power in your life? Lift your hands and ask the Lord for power. Mima masazi adi andelegredevezelomonoho. Koso prodevredi giligimana mahaya. Imamando zebre de gelege vilese. Oh, ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that gives us power. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit. Zilimranana manonde. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Lift your hands and receive the Holy Spirit this morning. Lift your hands. Mise breduli kavahayane namamondo bredegeve celebrediosa shasabidi kavahaya namahai. Oh, why don't you pray about the ability to pray? The Lord, give me the grace to pray. Give me the grace to pray because I do not pray. I do not have the ability to pray. I can't wake up to pray. I can't pray in the afternoon. I can't pray in the morning. I can't pray in the evening. Lord, give me the grace to pray. Somebody pray like your life depends on it. Pray like you are powerless and you need power. You need power from on high. Namo soni managabahaya lagadagada. Why don't you pray about the word of God? That the word of God will give you power. That as you do your quiet time, as you read your Bible, as you fellowship with God, that the power of the word, the power in the word, it will come into your life. The kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. Why don't you ask God for power? The ability to change, the ability to make a U-turn, the ability to return, the ability to say no, the ability to walk away. Why don't you pray and ask God for power this morning? Oh, God, hallelujah. Libre de Gevre Shazia. You know, I'm going to ask us to pray one more time before we close. Yes. Reverend Lester, this morning, as I was praying, the Lord showed me a person who is held bound or bond, or what's the correct word? Bound in a sexual relationship you cannot free yourself from. Yeah, and the person is in church. This morning. So I'm not surprised the bishop is preaching about the power to break free. That the power to break free is not there. Pastor William, the person is in church. Oh. The person comes to church regularly, and nobody knows that you are entangled in a sexual relationship that you cannot free yourself from. But this morning I want us to pray. The word of God has come to us, and the word Jesus said that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So I want us to lift our hands one more time. I'm not going to call you out. You know yourself. And I want us to lift our hands and cry to God for power. That Lord, give me power. Give me the ability to break free. Misani makala gavadia deile. Sobrada kafa santa kusakaya nama. Zima mani mologodia deveke celebrede. Power to break free, Lord. Power to say no. Power to make a U-turn. Power to retain. Never to go again. Never to go again. In the name of Jesus. Power, Lord. Power, Lord. Power, Jesus. Power, Jesus. By your Holy Spirit. By your word. By prayer. By Jesus. Power, Lord. To come out from it. To break free.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenna Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.